ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। सो आई एम वेरी वेरी हैप्पी टू बी विथ ऑल ऑफ यू। इनिशिएशन इज अ वेरी वेरी हैप्पी एंड ब्लिसफुल इवेंट। Is the most joyful day of the life because janmana jayate shudra sanskarat bhavet dvija. It means by birth all of us are shudras because we all are born without any sanskaras. There is no garbhadan sanskar of kshatriya or brahmin or anything. They are just born out of connection between male and female. That's why everybody is born shudra, but due to sanskar one becomes dvija, twice born. And initiation is like birth second time. One birth is seminal birth to mother and father, and second birth is to Gurudev through initiation of spiritual mantra and connecting us to Lord. And then after that there is furthermore is also there Vipra. One who is after initiation connection, one becomes knowledgeable in Vedas and scriptures. It's called Vipra. And then last is Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana. That means one, after acquiring knowledge, one realizes Brahman, that I am Atma and he is Paramatma and Super Soul. That is realization. That stage is called Brahman. So we have to go through these stages. And Chaturvarna Maya system, Guna Karma Vibhagasha. Not by born caste. We are XYZ, but we are, whatever we are by action and qualities. Whatever we do and what qualities we possess by which we are known as Brahmins or Kshatriyas or whatever. That is the ideal thing as per Krishna's statement in Bhagavad Gita. So, everybody who is born as human being need to have a guru. Because initiation or having a guru is not meant for animals and birds. Is only for human beings. So everybody who is born as a human being, a guru also is existing or born somewhere for him. That is Lord's arrangement. But till the soul doesn't become mumukshu, jigyasu, till that time the guru doesn't manifest. When you become jigyasu, then guru will come in front of you. Like when you have jagger in the pocket, then you don't need to invite the ants. Hands will come on their own. You need to have jaggery only, that's it. So, it is most important privilege of human life to have Guru. And without Guru, there is no realization. That doesn't mean that Guru has to be physically with you 24 hours a day to guide you how to eat, how not to eat, how to sleep. No, He is there. He has accepted you spiritually. And His guidance, His mercy, His vani, His instructions will be always with you. And you need to follow the instructions very sincerely. Today I want to stress, the subject is very big, guru and disciple. But today I want to stress most important thing is that the responsibility that you are going to take. The understanding that you will have of all this event. It's not just a formality. I also have a guru now. I have also this photograph which I will garland every day. And I will touch his feet. I'm not here, I'm just saying. It is a commitment for lifetimes, for eternity, not for this lifetime. Because your parents, my parents have given birth to us for only one lifetime. When I die, my relationship with my parents ended because they are the parents of this body. And when I die and then they die, the relationship is over. But the disciple and guru relationship is eternal. From now onwards, You may come as a human being or demigod or a cat or a dog or a demon or whatever you choose to come, and wherever you choose to come, he will be committed to you as a soul, as a disciple, on the spiritual platform. So we consider parents' reign as the highest in this world. In the karmi world, in the material world, the parents' indebtedness on you, or your indebtedness to parents, is supposed to be highest. You can never pay your parents, because you can never repay your mother who has borne you in the abdomen for 9 months and raised you. You can never pay them by doing anything. So we say that the debt of the mother and father is highest in this world. But the debt of guru is million times higher than mother and father also. Because these parents are taking care of you in this life only. And that too for some time of life. Afterwards you don't take care of a mother. Mother doesn't take care of you. Rather, you don't want them to take care of you. You want to be independent as early as possible. So there is a role to play for a certain number of years. And after that, maybe you are free, they are also free. But guru and disciple relationship is eternal. Whether you are adult, or whether you are a young woman, or whether you are old man, or a dying man, or a just born man, the responsibility is always there. And if you take birth and you take, you go to death, you come again and do whatever, every time he is responsible for you. From now onwards. So what is our responsibility? What is Guru doing at the time of initiation? Guru is taking all our karma of this lifetime? Or what is your opinion? Guru is taking your karma of all the previous lifetimes. Don't think only this lifetime when you are born. Because when you are born with a set of karma, bunch of karma, a large amount of karma of last lifetimes. And you are living this lifetime in a particular way. That's why you look in a particular way, you are in particular caste or family or financial situation or beauty or whatever. Because you have brought your bundle of last life. That's why we all look different. So what is Guru taking from you? He's taking the burden of all your previous lifetimes till today. It is like, suppose I give you 100 kg box on your head, and you are walking. We walked long time, and you are very slow speed and very difficult journey, and I come suddenly and take your 100 kg box off, then you can run. Is it not true? Yes. You have been walking with 100 kg of luggage, and now it is taken off, then you are running like anything. Same thing spiritual master is doing. Now without initiation you are struggling to progress in spiritual life, but at the time of initiation all your burden that is hindering your progress and speed is taken away from you. So that you can actually run towards Krishna with full speed. In the process, two things happen. Your slate is nullified. Your slate is cleaned. It's a clean slate now. Okay. Then tomorrow what happens? You are adding some karma in that. By all the things what you are doing. Even when you are breathing also, you are killing germs. Right? So every day we are adding karmas. So how do we deal with that? That we chant attentively every day. So on day-to-day basis, you cleanse your today's account. And if you don't chant attentively, then those karmas don't get wiped off. To the degree of your attention, to that degree the karmas are wiped off. If your degree attention is 50%, 50% wiped off, 50% remains there. So how much important is the attentive chanting? Because if you don't chant attentively daily, then daily you are creating a account. And you should know your guru is sharing that with you. Do not forget that. Don't think I have taken initiation now, my job is done. I have reached back to Godhead. No. It's just the beginning of your journey back to Godhead. The visa has been given. Visa does not take you to other country. You need to earn money, buy the ticket, and then take the trouble of traveling also overnight and jet lag and everything. Then you will reach another country. Initiation is beginning of spiritual life, is like a visa. And going back to Godhead is the whole journey, whole process. So daily, if you don't chant attentively, then you are burdening your guru. Because even not chanting attentively is also Namaprad. And when you perform Namaprad, which is of various types of Namaprad, you are burdening your guru daily. And the second problem also, you may chant inattentively And also you may perform apradhas. Vaishnava aparad and so many aparads. And when you do Vaishnava aparad, again that affects Guru. So please note this very frank, honestly. You are taking a big responsible step today. Till now, you were only dealing with your karma, suffering and enjoying. From tomorrow onwards, there is a partner in that. So you have to be very careful from today onwards what you do. But whatever you do, your Guru is going to be affected by that. Guru will suffer because of that. So morning I was talking to another disciple of Gurudev that you should never become a liability to your Guru. You should become an asset to your Guru. You should behave in such a way that your Guru is never burdened because of you. You are not a pain in his neck. You should be glory for him. You being there should be a glory to your Guru, not as a burden to you. So two things you have to be careful: chanting attentively and not doing aparads. And Guru will keep taking your responsibility whole lifetime. You may feel, "Arey, Guru Maharaj is not there only. I don't even get to see him. He never spoke to me even once in my lifetime. And I mean, I don't feel connected." But don't go on that level, because Guru Maharaj's connection with you is not physical or emotional or mental or social or intellectual. It is on spiritual platform. Basically, the connection between you and Guru is spiritual. And in that, when you say spiritual, in that intellectual, social, emotional, mental, physical, everything is included. And if you get something physical association, is well and good. But if you don't get physical association, don't think you are deprived of anything. He has taken your responsibility. And I have seen in my life in the hospital and otherwise also, that when a devotee is about to die, how Guru Maharaj connects with him. I have seen not only with our Guru Maharaj, but many other gurus, because so many people come and die here, so many gurus, disciples, and their phone calls come. But how a guru is so much concerned about a disciple when the disciple is leaving this world. I have seen with my own eyes many, many gurus. So I have got faith that I don't have to cry, "Oh, last 10 years I didn't talk to my Guru Maharaj, he didn't smile at me, I didn't have one exchange with him. What kind of relationship is this?" Relationship, we have heard in the management language, we have to invest and invest and invest. There is no time to invest and there is no opportunity for investing also. That is all material world's rules and regulations. In spiritual world, it is good if you can get physical seva, physical association, physical instructions, one-to-one, is very great. But don't get that, that doesn't mean you are deprived of anything. If you don't get that, that doesn't mean you are deprived of anything. So, so this one thing I want to make clear to you, that one lady came in London to Radhana Swami. You know how the foreigners are, they are very aggressive and very upfront and very bold. I said, "What is this, Radhana Swami Maharaj? I am aspiring from you and you never give time. You always, I see you with your god brothers and with anybody else's disciples, and when are you going to give time to me?" So he said, "Okay, let me make things clear to you. In my life, my first priority is my god brothers. My second priority is disciples of my god brothers. And third priority is my disciples. If you like me the way I am, take diksha from me or find somebody else." Why I have to say all these things? Because the expectation is such, which is foolish expectation. You cannot dictate your guru what he should be doing and keep expectation from guru. He has taken away from you such a big burden of lifetimes which is hindering your progress towards Krishna. You cannot repay your guru by anything except by serving him and trying to please him. the way he wants to. And everybody is individual. You may say, oh, see that Swamiji, how is he? And my Swamiji never gives time to me. Or see that one, see this one. This is shopping. Spiritual life is not shopping. Spiritual life is you develop faith, you take time for that faith, fine, to choose. And once you develop that faith, then that is like blind faith afterwards. Once you take initiation, accept him as guru, there is nothing more after that. Oh, I made a mistake, it's like a husband-wife, I made a wrong choice. There's nothing like that in spiritual life. So, why this kind of answer Guru Maharaj gave? Because you have to make it clear that you are not here to dictate a spiritual master. You are supposed to follow a spiritual master. Once he has taken your responsibility, then you don't dictate him how he should take the further role of action. He knows exactly what is to be done for you. How to uplift your soul, he knows. Radhanand Maharaj made a statement, it's in my mobile also. We never expected personal attention from Srila Prabhupada. We always felt happy and satisfied in following his instructions. In the whole life, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj met Prabhupada only two times. One time in Vrindavan, when he first time interacted. First time was in Ras Maidan, where Prabhupada called him and sat him next to him, and that's it. And then Prasadam was given to him as a special person. But there was no interaction as such. Second time he met in Vrindavan, where he said, you love Vrindavan? I also love Vrindavan. You can stay in Vrindavan. And then Maharaj went to New Vrindavan and took Diksha. And third time, the personal interaction was when Prabhupada came to Old Vrindavan at the mountain in New Vrindavan area, where the temple of Radha Radhanath was there. Radha Vrindavan Nath. And Prabhupada came all the way up there, where there was nobody coming there, with some disciples, and the plates were distributed, and Prabhupada gave bowls also to everybody. And everybody took bowls, and everybody, they started thinking, this is Prabhupada's Mahaprasad. And then he has to chase everybody to take the bowls back, that it is bowls, please give me back. That's all. After that, Radhanath Swami Maharaj never got any personal attention of his spiritual master. Not even instruction also. Niranjan Maharaj was asked in a public assembly one time, how many times did you meet Prabhupada personally? He said like this, zero times. And there are many disciples of Prabhupada who never saw Prabhupada physically. Their diksha was through post. In the lifafa, in the envelope, by a courier, the new name and the chanting beads came. And they never saw Prabhupada. They only lived their whole life on instructions of Prabhupada, on tapes of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada made it very clear, in my absence, temple president is your guru. Whatever he says, you have to follow. And they followed that verbatim. It is today only, people are so much demanding and expecting, guru should do this, guru should do that, why is he not doing this, and when I will get time, why he is only close to guru all time, why I am not giving any chance. So at this time is the right time to take it to our heart that we are not here to expect anything from Guru Maharaj. We are here to serve. The only privilege a disciple has is to serve and to please. And not to please in the way you want to please, but to please in the way he will be pleased. You should not think, if I do this, he should be pleased, because I am doing so great thing for him. You have to do things that will please him naturally, not that the way you think he should be pleased. It's actually a concept of being a disciple. It's not just a rubber stamp, you know, I'm a disciple of so and so. Disciple means one who follows discipline of spiritual master. Shishya means one who follows shiksha of spiritual master. And in nothing else, he has no opinion. Guru's opinion is fine. If Guru says this is east, that is east. If that is west, that is west. Finished. There's no questions asked. It's been told and it's been followed. That's all the relationship is. And when your Guru asks you, so Vishwarup Das, so what do you think about this? So you should not say, whatever you think, Maharaj, is fine with me. When he asks you, what do you think about it? You have to give your opinion. And it may not be accepted. But if it is asked, you should give it. And not be goody-goody. No, Maharaj, whatever you say is fine with me. He said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you, what is your opinion? I want your opinion. So one has right to ask queries and put questions. But whatever has been told, finally it has to be followed. You may not get a favorable answer all the time. That is a disciple. You may like, you may be, you know, happy with the answer, or may not be happy with the answer, but finally you have to follow what has been told to you. So please take this thing very seriously. In our temple, the dikshas are given much later. ISKCON rule is, in 1 year, 16 rounds, one can take diksha. This is ISKCON standard rule. Any guru can initiate you if he is happy with you. But basic rule is, 1 year chanting 16 rounds, following four principles. But here it is 3 years minimum, even to just become basically qualified. And then onwards also you have to wait for a long time. Because Guru Maharaj doesn't want that you take diksha and you leave after some time. In my tenure of this spiritual life for so many years, I have seen many people taken diksha and they have left immediately after 6 months, 1 month, 1 year, gone forever, never come back again. So we don't want dikshawalas and chaiwalas, you know, standing for diksha, because diksha is available, and then in next moment they leave also. I have seen person have left in 1 hour of initiation also, in the olden times. And then we realize that unless there is training and education, how will you stay? If there is no training, there is no education. So better late than never. But earlier, it is a risk. So don't feel sorry now that you chanted for 10 years or 5 years or long period of time. There are people who are waiting for 17 years and 20 years also. For various reasons, physical reasons, maybe whatever reasons maybe. But they waited very patiently with one fixed mind that whatever happens, I will wait for him. Whenever he will initiate, I will wait for that. So we want fixtures. We don't want name disciples, you know, for the sake of name only. We want disciples in quality, in obedience, in surrender, acceptance. That's what we want to be. That's why, apart from chanting 16 rounds and apart from following four principles, apart from eating prasad only, and apart from doing so many things, we are looking for qualities of a devotee, like humility, like cooperation, like no competition. This is what we are looking for. That's why time is required. And I will tell you something. I also know many disciples who are initiated, but after some time they stop practicing chanting 16 rounds, and they have many excuses, and they have family responsibilities, they have given birth to a baby, they got married to a non-devotee, or they got married and went abroad, or whatever, maybe 51 reasons may be there. But they have stopped chanting 16 rounds. Mind you, that if you do that, your guru is going to suffer. It's an offense. So when you say, I will chant 16 rounds, means you should give up food and drink. But your chanting 16 rounds should be done. That is our must. And no breaking of our four regular principles, whatever happens in life. This is our commitment. This commitment in front of Vaishnavas, in front of deities, in front of senior devotees who are observing you, and then in the front of fire later on, in our case here. So it's like a big commitment. You know, we are not talking in a gully somewhere in the cave where I'll chant 16 rounds. We are talking in front of everybody. And a gentleman's word is always final. He's not making statement politically, just to get a name, new name in your list. So please don't do that. I've been working on so many disciples who have not been chanting 16 rounds for a long period of time. Because our experience is, if you don't chant 16 rounds one day, then second day also it is okay for not chanting 16 rounds. So yesterday also I didn't chant 16 rounds, nothing happened. I didn't become corrupt, bankrupt, I didn't become diseased, I didn't have anything, setback. So next day also I didn't chant, and then the exam was there, so I didn't chant for 8 days in a row. Then I have got backlog of 35 rounds, and I didn't never get time to chant 35 rounds at all. And that's how they give up and give up. I know people who have pending rounds in the range of 6,000 pending rounds. I know devotees. And then they feel, I just cannot do it only, it's impossible. How will I clear the backlog? It's impossible. You'll come to that stage. It's like slowly, 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 slowly you fall. And one day you are 6,000 pending rounds. 8,000 pending rounds. Some people are having no account only. I didn't chant for 3 years. And I understand it's a very dangerous situation. Very bad for Guru because he's suffering, but for us, one who betrays Gurus by not following his promise, he is in hell. There will be so much suffering, and all that suffering will be shared by your Guru Maharaj. So make it your, cross your heart and ask yourself, are you ready to chant 16 rounds every day in the last breath of your life? Unless you fall unconscious in coma, a different story, but devotees have even covered rounds of coma stage after they have come out of coma. There are devotees who are 24 days in coma because of brain hemorrhage. But the initiated devotees, when they came out of coma, they completed their pending rounds. So you may have some busy days sometimes, very hectic days come, somebody falls sick, emergency, accident, deaths happen in family, and you miss out your round, but always keep track. How many you missed, and don't take it lightly. Chalta hai, don't keep it lightly. Keep a track and complete it sincerely. It's your responsibility, it's your commitment. We are not animals or birds, we are human beings, we are given a word, and that word should be followed. Very important commitment. So in nutshell, Diksha is a very big day in life. It's like Brahmande Bhramite Kono Bhagyavana Jeev. We have been wandering millions of times in millions of bodies trying to enjoy sense gratification. This is our chance where we have been given an opportunity to come out of cycles of birth and death once and for all. Relieve ourselves from suffering perpetually. And Guru Maharaj is lifting you from this muck, from this deep dirt, deep darkness of suffering, and giving you a path of light to go back home, back to Godhead. And don't think I'll take 10 lifetimes. Anyway, he is committed to me. So what is the problem? For Bilobamangal Thakur, the Guru came in the form of prostitute to wake him up from this slumber of ignorance. It is mentioned in scriptures that the Guru came in the form of prostitute who was enjoyed by the person. But then at one point, opportune time, the prostitute gave a lesson to him. So he said, Bilobamangal Thakur says, she is my first Guru. And scriptures explain that his Guru came as prostitute. So do not make your Guru come as prostitute or anything else. It's our duty. He has given us visa, it's our duty to buy a ticket. Work hard for buying a ticket and board the plane. Don't expect that he will only buy a ticket for you, he will only put you on the plane. His mercy will put you on the plane. But you have to work hard to earn the ticket and to board the flight. Now initiation is given to you, will be given to you. You know what is the meaning of taking karma? I can tell you. Because we do yagyas, na? We perform yagyas. And even after performing yagyas, I used to sometimes suffer like anything. And I didn't know why. Then I asked some senior Brahmins. And they say, when you do yagya, you also share karma. So then I stopped doing yagyas for my relatives and, you know, my non-devotee people. But there I had maximum trouble. Two different occasions, I distinctly came and told her also, okay, not feeling all right. Then I came to know, because I did yagya in non-devotees as yajman. Out of love, of course, friendship and everything. But then I made a rule, I will not do. I could understand ki it's not complete taking karma of everybody. I'm not giving initiation as a guru, you know. But little karma sharing, I could understand what kind of suffering is there, mental and physical. So who will do that? To take one disciple also means like taking the karma of lifetime of that devotee. They have lifetimes of that devotee. And so many thousands of devotees are being accepted. Jayapataka Maharaj has 30,000 disciples. He's like a wholesale guru. He gives wholesale diksha. You know? So, how much suffering they go through, just see. And they are not suffering for their karmas. They are suffering for all their disciples' karmas. Collectively, comes on them as a toll. And still they are taking disciples. But the compassion supersedes the actual suffering of their life. Our suffering overwhelms us and our compassion ends there as soon as we start suffering. But their compassion is so overwhelming that their unlimited amount of suffering also doesn't stop them from being compassionate. That is a force within them. Force of Krishna's compassion, which pushes them again and again to accept more and more, to save them from cycles of birth and death. So we can never repay. Only thing what we can do is to chant our rounds sincerely every day, follow four principles, follow the promises, and don't offend anybody. If you offend anybody, suppose by chance, beg forgiveness, fall at the feet, follow the Vaishnava way of begging pardon genuinely. But don't be proud and burden your guru by your offense and by your insincerity of not following the promises. If you feel you are cut out for that, then only take Diksha tomorrow. Otherwise you can back out. Because this is a big commitment. This is not the rubber stamp or, you know, I also ran in the same queue. I also got a new name. It's not for that. It's a very, very serious commitment. Even if there is nobody watching you, you're in Timbuktu, you should remain a disciple there. Not that, you know, what brother, no, God is watching me here, so I can do whatever I want. No, whatever you do, be sure that your guru will be suffering for that. Wherever you are, nobody will know, but Krishna knows and guru will suffer for that. So you should at least have that courtesy in mind, ki, why should my guru suffer for me, for my nonsense? That kind of gentle nature has to be there in a disciple. So I want to really heartily congratulate all of you for having the fortune of getting a pure devotee in your life as your guru, who will for sure deliver you from this cycle of birth and death. At the same time, my duty is to also caution you and make you aware of your responsibility as a disciple. And don't try to find out what is Guru's responsibility. Huh? I mean, you know from scriptures what Guru does, but you don't start judging, he is not doing that. What is he doing? I am trying to be a good disciple and he is not fulfilling my requirements as a good Guru. That's not our job. Your job is to do selection. If you're selected, till that time you can judge yourself, find out what's happening and get inspired. Once you select and once you accept Guru, accept initiation, no more judgment, only following, only surrender, only instruct, obedience, nothing else. The key word of a disciple is obedience. That's all. Obedience to Guru is the only key word that should buzz in your life and nothing else. And when your guru doesn't meet you, he has made a system of people who are guiding you. You all may not know, I must tell you, he has awfully told his counselors very, very openly and strictly that if you recommend not so qualified people as per my desire, he has laid down the rule, what kind of people I want to be initiated or whom I will give initiation, what kind of qualification I am looking for. And you know it as a counselor, but you are still trying to, you know, favor somebody or, you know, like, it's okay. Anyways, I will recommend you because I have the authority of recommending. He says, if you are recommending so-called unqualified people, then you also will share the karma with me. He has told that very clearly. As a counselor, you will, because I don't know each and everybody, you know, I don't know each and everybody. He may not know. I know. Other counselors know. Their counsel is. But Guru Maharaj may not know in depth what's happening with you and everything. So you think, okay, I can, you know, skip him away, you know, somehow push him ahead. Then say, you will suffer the karmas and share the karmas with me. So we also have big responsibility. Then we recommend. So sometimes we don't recommend, not because ki we don't like you or something like that. We are concerned about him. Because whatever we do, he has to accept everything. So it is better late, but not hurry up. Okay, some few things which Guru Maharaj has told, which I want to convey to you. He has said, please don't expect me to remember your name. It is not humanly possible. And you say, oh Guru Maharaj, you gave me Diksha. You don't know my name? You gave me name. I have given names to so many babies actually. As a Vishwarup Das also. And I meet those babies and I don't remember their names. They may say, what is this? You gave name to my baby. But I am a human being. I am not a superhuman being. Not a devata or something. I am a simple human being. I may have also memory loss or whatever. May not remember. And I am, Guru has thousands of disciples. You know, if you may not remember somebody's name, it's all right. He has responsibility taken, responsibility of your soul, not of the name. Name is just a guideline to you, you are Das. What he says is the important part of the name is not XYZ, not Akshobhya Krishna. The important part of the name is Das. That is the more important name. So that he has accepted you. That is more than enough. So please do not feel like that. Do not feel like that, ki my Guru never talks to me, never smiles at me. I never get any service to my Guru Maharaj. And he has given instruction to all aspiring and already initiated disciples that I give instructions to my disciples in my classes when I give classes in temple. And I give my instruction to my disciples in my yatras. So I want my disciples to come to my classes and my yatras where I give instruction to my Gurudev, my disciples in my lectures. And at times he has asked, why should I go take yatras if my counselors and my disciples don't have time to come to yatra because of XYZ reasons? Oh, yatras are too crowded, yatras are too cumbersome, long queues for prasad, huge crowd to attend lectures, and no, I can't get along this kind of situations and all. He said, with all the troubles one must accept and one should come to yatras and my lectures. Of course, don't go to America to hear lectures, but whenever Guru comes to your area, you should run to hear him. There are these instructions. I want my devotees to come for my yatras and for my lectures whenever I take them. And with all these situations, if you do get a personal instruction, then you are lucky. But you don't get a personal instruction, you are not unlucky. Please understand this. That is to be understood. If you don't get a personal instruction from Guru, you are not unlucky. So you must say, Prabhuji, it is very good because you are always with Gurudev and he talks to you, and so for you it is good to say, you are eating jalebi and telling us not to eat jalebis. You are already eating jalebi every day. You are telling us how to keep away from jalebis. It's like good thought for you. It is not like that. We are also at the same mercy only. Before, when we were very early days, Maharaj was free, we were free, so we all stayed with him. Today also, for meeting Maharaj, I have to sometimes wait for one and a half years. If something is there, some issue is there. We have been fielding for 1.5 years, 1 year to get an appointment. To get the appointment for the book, which he only has instructed me and I am writing for his pleasure only, I waited for 1.5 years to get an appointment to take his memories. So nothing that we are great or something, you are not great or something, I am close and you are not close. We are on equal platform. Only thing, because we were little earlier, we came in movement, so we have some acquaintance with him. That's all. And if he may be remembering our names and he may not remember your names. But that does not make any difference. Without he remembering your name, you may still go back to Godhead. And with knowing my name, I may be still here. I may still remain here. So it's not important. What is important is your heart-to-heart connections. Your obedience to his instructions, what he gives. What he wants you to do. And he gives abundantly the instructions in his lectures. What he wants you to be. How you should be as a disciple. How he wants you to behave as a disciple. So take that to your heart. You know, these privileges are external. Always remember this. Kalidas, Kal Krishna Das was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant. But still the Bhattaharis dragged him away. And he was bewildered completely. He was with the Lord himself, personal servant, under direct mercy, but still he drifted away. There's so many examples like that. Even the bed bug is so close to the king who is on the throne. But what is the use of the bed bug? He's only sucking the blood. He's not close to the king. So there's nothing like, you know, being close or not being close. You are closest when you obey his instructions. Those devotees who are Nirajan Swami Maharaj, not even met once to Prabhupada. Anybody can say he is not close to Prabhupada? He is such a devotee, such a sadhu actually. So that is not the criteria, how great you are, how advanced you are. The criteria of advancement is only obedience. And you can be in Timbuktu and Guru may be somewhere else, and you are sincerely following instructions, you are the closest. One day Guru Maharaj will leave the planet and go away. Still your closeness can be maintained. Prabhupada said, I was never not with my Guru Maharaj in America. Prabhupada left the planet. I mean, his Guru Maharaj left the planet. And Prabhupada is wandering alone in New York City, in the middle of the cold, old man. But he said, I was never not with my Guru Maharaj. I was always with my Guru Maharaj. And what is the secret he told? By following the instruction of my Guru Maharaj, I was always with him. So what is the secret of constantly with being with Guru Maharaj? Constantly following his instructions. His instruction makes you closest to him at heart, not bodily, from heart point of view. So your goal should be, and your effort should be, how to obey his instructions 100% from the heart. And then you will never feel that he is not with you. You will always feel he is with you. Radhanath Maharaj was denied to meet Prabhupada. When Prabhupada sent letters to all the world centers that I am mostly leaving this world very soon, please come and meet me. He sent temple presidents all letters in the world, sent messages to all temple presidents, send your devotees, my disciples, to meet me. They can meet me, they can serve me, they can do whatever. Come to Vrindavan. And in New Vrindavan, that time so many services are there, intense services, you know. So New Vrindavan authority never told any disciples over there that Prabhupada sent the instruction to meet him. So those disciples of Prabhupada were in New Vrindavan doing hard work day and night, never ever came to know that Prabhupada is leaving this world. And some who came to know, they were told, you cannot go, you should do service over here. Prabhupada will be very pleased if you serve here, rather than running and by giving up your service and running away to meet him physically. So Radhanath Maharaj was one of them who very much wanted to go to meet Prabhupada, because he would never see Prabhupada again. But he was denied the permission to go. And it's not like Mira Road and Govardhan Eco Village, you know, 80 kilometers, just 10,000 miles away. But because of the sincere obedience, Srila Prabhupada came in his dream every single day. And in the dream, he massaged his feet, he washed his clothes, he cooked for him, he fed him, he washed his utensils. Everything what he wanted to do, every single night he did. He said it was the most intimate experiences I got about Prabhupada in the dream. So now you understand what is the level of the relationship with disciple and guru. It's purely spiritual. It's not physical. And when Guru comes in dream, it's not a dream, it's a reality. It's not just imagination. I saw the gold, I saw the mountain, and I saw a golden mountain in dream. That is material. But when Guru comes in dream, and he speaks to you, and you serve him, it's not a dream. It's Guru's way of reciprocating with you. So we have such an example as our Guru, who only met Guru Maharaj for a couple of times in life. And all the life only obeyed the instruction of his authorities on behalf of Guru. So we should make up your mind before we get into this business tomorrow. So make up your mind. What kind of disciple you want to be? You want to be a disciple of external understandings? Okay, I never got to hug Guru Maharaj, I never got to touch his feet, I never got to wash his clothes, I never got to cook sabji for him. Or you want to become a disciple who will be 100% dedicated to follow the instruction and never deviate from the promises that has been given to Guru on the time of initiation. Maybe you will never meet him again physically, again, after this one-to-one interaction. like this, getting new name. This is the most intimate moment. Maybe, I'm not wishing like that, but I'm saying maybe, but you should be prepared for that. Okay, I have been accepted, I have been given the blessing, and I will now just remain content in obeying my Gurudev. And if he wants me to please my authorities locally here, I will do that. If he wants me to be under his guidance or be there, his guidance, her guidance, I will do that. Because what was Radhananda Maharaj's situation? His authority was his guru only. Because he has been told, you follow him, that's it, finished. So that becomes a guru. There's no question, why him only, why not him? He's tough, he's easier. No, whatever he's been told. And not only Radhananda Swami Maharaj. Everybody was like that only in those days. Because Prabhupada was travelling all around the globe. And if you will go to Poland, then that may be the only darshan of Poland. He may come next year to Poland. And on that one lecture that he will hear personally, the devotees will live for the whole year. And maybe next year he will come in another lecture. Not personal interaction. Same thing. He will come to that temple where you belong to, and you attend the lecture, whatever he says you hear, and you live for the whole year on that basis, on that nutrition. So we have good examples. Not that we are deprived and we are unfortunate and underprivileged spiritually. It's not like that. We all are equally privileged. I have the same privilege that you will have tomorrow, and you have the same privilege which I have. There's nothing, only thing, time is a little different. We are a little earlier joined the movement and you have come a little later. Even that doesn't matter. As far as going back home, back to Godhead is concerned, even which year you join doesn't matter. All the senior ones may stay behind and junior ones become completely purified and go back. It's all possible. So let us understand the spirituality of the whole relationship, not external understanding of the relationship. We want to be even spiritual in understanding the spiritual relationship. You don't want to be physical or emotional about understanding the spiritual nature of the relationship of spiritual master. This is a good line, right? Good statement. We do not want to be physical, mental, emotional, social or intellectual about understanding the spiritual nature of the relationship of Guru Maharaj with us. We want to be perfectly spiritual in understanding the spiritual nature of the relationship with our Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, I can answer. Right now you ask philosophical questions. Once I close this, I will answer, tell you all that thing.
It's not my question, but my sister had a question. Even I had that same question. Like, when Prabhuji was telling that our guru may be different in different lifetimes, because Balram is the original guru. That point which I didn't understand, because the Guru is eternal, that's what I understand.
Guru Tattva is one. Guru Tattva is one. In that sense, Balram is everybody's Guru. But then some soul comes to us as his representative, and we have to follow that representative. He represents Balram, he represents Radharani, he represents Nityananda Prabhu, he represents Lakshmana. Okay? So, Guru may change his body, like Guru came as prostitute. He came as a woman, before he was a man, now he came as a prostitute. But the principle doesn't change. The tattva doesn't change. Tattva remains same. Everybody draws from the ocean of Balram and gives you.
Same soul will be all.
Yes, yes, yes. It is very personal, Prabhuji. By the way, you should know one more thing. That suppose, imagine a situation, everybody has a sthayi bhav. We are now totally contaminated, so we don't know what our sthayi bhav is. But everybody has a sthayi bhav. Somebody may be having friendly connection with Krishna by nature, sthayi bhav. Somebody may be gopi bhav by naturally. But now it is all covered. And suppose you go back to Godhead, you become purified, and then you become a gopi, and he becomes a friend, and you become a cow, for example. Okay, all different rasa: Shantarasa, Shringarasa, and Sakhyarasa. And your guru also may be having one particular rasa, no? He's also an individual soul. So his rasa may be Sakhyarasa, for example. So for you, he's in the same rasa. So it's very easy for you to relate. But for you, you are in a higher rasa than he is in lower rasa. And for you, his rasa is higher than your rasa. This is the condition in spiritual world now. Imagine you are back in spiritual world. What will spiritual master do? He will remain your guru even in spiritual world, even in that situation. But he will connect you to the person of his confidence in that rasa for your further guidance. But he will remain your principal guru even in spiritual world. And he will connect you to some cow who is his trustworthy for guiding you in being cow in spiritual world. But he will always, what is the meaning of eternal? Not till the material world life is. Eternal means in spiritual life also, in spiritual world also. This is the meaning of eternal connection. He will remain your guru after going back to spiritual world also. So Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj has told many times, if you go to spiritual world, you may not see Prabhupada in the same body that you have seen in the videos here. He may be in a Sakha form or in the Gopi form, whatever he is, his form. But you will know he is our Prabhupada. That is the beauty of the whole thing. It's like in the middle of many cows, all are white, all are big, all are same size, but a calf knows, this is my mother. It will not go and drink anybody's milk because everybody is white cow. The calf will know, this is my mother. So spiritual master will remain spiritual master even in spiritual world also. Yes, he has to keep coming again and again. That is what I am telling you. The responsibility of Guru is such that you and me may take 100 lifetimes. And he is qualified to go back to Godhead. But he will keep coming back again and again. Because he has taken responsibility of yours, no? To take you back to Godhead. So we have to think, I don't want to make him come again and again. I will qualify and fulfill his purpose. I don't want to be the black sheep in the group. I want to be a feather in his cap. That should be our mood. I don't want to be of any trouble to my Guru Maharaj. I want to only give him happiness. I only make him feel glorious. I want to be that moon rather than many stars in the sky. That should be our mood. And everything, believe me, everything what you have and what you will have, everything belongs to Guru. Please understand this. Because everything belongs to Krishna and he is representative of Krishna. So everything what you have, it belongs to him. So every single, I am making a very strong statement, nah? Please listen carefully. Every single extra breath that you have, every single extra rupee you have, every single jewel of energy that you have should be in service to Guru. And nothing else. Should be quite focused in that matter. Instead of giving money here and there, wherever you feel compassion, you just give where your guru is doing something. In guru's project, you put your money. And not just because here you went, somebody begged you, there you went, somebody begged you. Good causes. Nobody's doing bad things. But still, among the 50 good things that you are coming across, give your donation where your guru is serving. Don't let your money divide and energy divide and everything divide anywhere here. Focus it to one point. Because now your path is this. You have to go by this path. This is your pathway back to Godhead. And there is no other way to go back to Godhead. So repose everything that you have in that direction. I am recording it. I am very boldly making this statement. And I don't mind anybody hearing it if in that way. Because we are very clear, we are disciples of a particular guru and we will give our life, what to speak of money, breath or whatever, you know, everything that I have, I'll repose at his feet. That is the perfection of my life. I aspire to do that, if I am not doing it today at least. I aspire to do that one day in my life. Repose everything that I have. Manasa deho geho, jo kuchhi mor. Arpulin tuvapade nanda kishore. I want to offer to you, my Lord, everything. Any other question?
Can the disciple be from other planets in the spiritual world?
Pardon
like
me?
Narada Muni, he had disciples from various planets.
So, tomorrow your Guru Maharaj may be delivering souls in the demigod planet. You are still his disciple. He will take care of you.
Yeah, but,
his rep will come and take care of you.
Suppose my Guru Maharaj is from Golokar now. Is some disciples can be from Ayodhya or Dwaraka.
Whatever our rasa is, Guru Maharaj will connect you. If you are Ram Bhakta by nature, like Hanuman, then Guru Maharaj will connect you properly. You may be from spiritual world of Dwarka or Mathura or whatever, Ayodhya, in spiritual world. That may be your rasa. But Guru Maharaj will, knowing you well, he will connect you well. Because ultimately, if you belong to Dwarka spiritual world and I belong to Goloka spiritual world, it doesn't make any difference. The spiritual connection will remain, whether we are here or there. Today we all happen to be there here. Tomorrow after getting delivered, you may be going to different places as per your rasa. But still the connection with Guru Maharaj will remain. It will never be separated or severed for any reason. That is why it is eternal. What does it mean? It is eternally eternal. It is not, you know, spiritual world, only material world eternal as long as you are here. No. From now onwards till eternity, it will be the connection. So it's a big commitment. Even a husband you choose is a husband for only one lifetime. When you give birth also, your motherhood is only for that lifetime, for that particular soul. But spiritual master and disciple, the connection is eternal. All lifetimes to come, and then for the eternal life in spiritual world also. Okay, shall I close this?
Yes.